a stock market celebration.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The Federal Reserve has filled hearts and wallets around the world with joy. As you probably know by now, the Fed cut its key interest rate not a quarter point, but a half a point. Wall Street bought so much stock, the New York Stock Exchange had to put in trading curbs. And today, the overseas markets kept the party going. In Japan, the Nikkei shot up almost 600 points, 3.7%. Hong Kong shares climbed 4%. London's FTSE has gained 2%. Wall Street had its best day in 4 years. The Dow put on 335 points to 13,799. The NASDAQ was up 70. The S&P 500 added 43, almost 3%. Now that we've gotten that out of our system, it's time for a reality check. This drop in interest rates will not solve everyone's problems. There are still many home foreclosures coming. The housing market will still be in a slump for a while. And other markets are not so thrilled with the Fed's decision. Let's bring in our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. Stephen, what's the downside here?
Currency markets have shown far more restraint. In fact, the dollar has extended yesterday's declines. This morning in Europe, it was down to a 15-year low against other trading currencies. This reflects, of course, the fact that international investors are going to get a lower return on their short-term dollar deposits now. But also, I mean, traders here are saying there is another concern that's being reflected in the weakening dollar, and that is that the Fed may be taking much too much of a risk with inflation.
Because we're getting statistics here that suggest inflation isn't a big threat. What are you referring to?
Well, it was not widely observed yesterday that the price of oil hit $82 a barrel, an all-time record. And the price of wheat in the futures market was also soaring. So there is the prospect of higher energy and food prices in the pipeline. So, you know, the inflationary threat clearly hasn't gone away.
Well, on balance, when you talk about the market's reaction, what is your sense? I mean, what are analysts and investors saying over there about this decision by the Fed?
Well, I think they're saying that, of course, they appreciate the Fed has an extremely difficult decision to make, but there is a danger, they say, that by cutting interest rates by a half of 1%, he could encourage precisely the sorts of things that got us into this mess in the first place, excessive risk-taking and bad lending practices.
Well, that doesn't sound very good.
No, it certainly doesn't.
All right, Stephen Beard, our correspondent in London. Thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Let's get another perspective on this. In his new book, Alan Greenspan says the gains from globalization are waning. Commentator David Frum says that's why the inflationary storm clouds will start gathering.
In the 1990s, big countries like China and India rejoined the world market. Their people flooded into cities and into export industries. That influx restrained wages worldwide and in turn slowed inflation. But there is not an endless supply of anything, not even Chinese peasants. Sooner or later, the influx must slow, wages will rise, and inflationary pressures will gather, especially since those ex-peasants will want to buy things too. They will want more meat, which means grain to feed the meat, which means higher grain prices. They will want cars, which means higher oil prices. They will want more gadgets, which means higher prices for nickel, steel, and other commodities. Eventually, they will want to spend more and save less, which means less demand for U.S. Treasury bonds. That, in turn, will mean higher interest rates to attract investors. The forecast looks bad for inflation, and not just because of China. Fundamentally, it's because of us. Every developed country has made healthcare and pension commitments to baby boomers that can't possibly be honored in full. What have governments historically done when burdened with commitments they cannot meet? They inflate their way out of them. That's what happened in the United States in the 1960s, when the United States decided to build a great society and fight a war in Vietnam, all at the same time without raising taxes. Let's borrow the money. And how will we pay it back? Easy. Just print it. It worked for a while. A very short while. Between 1967 and 1982, the dollar lost almost three-quarters of its purchasing power. There's going to be a great temptation to escape our debts to the baby boomers the same way. And this time, those Chinese peasants won't be around to help.
David Frum is a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Siemens. From strengthened urban infrastructures to sustainable environmental solutions to advanced healthcare technology, Siemens' 70,000 U.S. employees are providing solutions for America. By the American Public Transportation Association, supporting America's public transportation systems, working to help reduce greenhouse gases for a better environment at publictransportation.org. And by the Medtronic Foundation, sponsoring The Mysterious Human Heart, a PBS series exploring diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of heart disease through science and technology, premiering on PBS in October.
The show Kid Nation debuts on CBS tonight. 40 children are put in a ghost town, and they create their own society with no grown-ups, at least on camera. Some advertisers already think this is moronic and unsavory. They've pulled their spots. But the marketplace players don't understand all the fuss. I mean, isn't America a kid nation already?
Next season, the kids of Kid Nation take over Congress.
To my colleagues across the aisle, I say, I want to privatize Social Security.
But we want to keep Social Security the way it is.
And Congress really doesn't change so much.
We need to raise taxes so we can all have toys.
Shut up.
You shut up.
Alliances are forged.
Senator, I'll support your Lincoln Log Bridge to Nowhere if you support free fluffernutters for all my friends.
Swear?
Swear.
Enemies are made.
If you don't disclose the note I saw you pass to Jack Abramoff in the cafeteria, I'm telling the Ethics Committee.
And then, recess. Kid Nation, you're living in it.
Many thanks to our thespians August and Willem Rosenberg and Cecily Tripoli. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for joining us and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.